You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
It's been a great few weeks as we've journeyed through this hashtag life series. We've looked at all different ages and stages of life, and I'm going to overview that for you today, but also give us some new points for us to take into our hearts. It's been really a great semester. We started out with talking about who's your one, asking a question, who's one person in your life that you could share Christ with in the next 365 days. Just one person. Doesn't have to be 50, doesn't have to be 100, just one person. And so we prayed and we asked God to lay on our heart, who would be that one person? And so you may be here in this room because somebody shared Christ with you and they loved you enough to say, I want to tell you about the most important thing in my life, the most heartfelt thing in my life. And so you were their one because of their love for you. Others of us, we're still wanting to get that moment to be able to share the Lord with somebody and say, you're my one, and I want you to be able to understand how wonderful Jesus is. And as we heard earlier in the message or early in the service, to be able to bring that one to our celebration time. Everybody wants to do something at Christmas time that we can get together, spend time together, and do something Christmassy and be able to share the gospel and be able to share the good news and do that. So that's been one part of our season this year that we've had is who's your one and now hashtag life. Last week, I was at Cypress campus. So Cypress, way to go. I was with you guys, which was awesome. And this is a special day in Cypress because we have a new worship leader that's come on staff, but he was at the Loop a few years ago and his name is Roger Cullins. Want to show you his picture? You may remember Roger. That's his family. And now, Roger, this is your first day in Cypress, and we just want to say welcome to you. We're so glad. I don't think this picture was taken in Cypress. I think it was somewhere else. I know it's pretty out there, but not quite like that. So Roger's on board with us again, and that's exciting to be able to do that. But I want you to turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah is just to the right of Psalms and Proverbs. If you open up the middle of your Bible, you'll end up at Psalms and Proverbs area. And then you can go just to the right a few books and you'll end up with Jeremiah. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture as we talk about that there's a reason for your season of where you are. Where you are right now, God has got you placed. We've looked at all different age groups to be able to say, you know what, if you're in that age group, let's look and understand where you are. If you're not in that age group, let's learn about somebody else so we can minister to them and care for them. Because here's the truth. We can often look at life through a straw, can't we? It's my life through this straw, through my age, and what's going on in my life right at that moment. And we need to get a bigger perspective. In this verse of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it was about like in 600 B.C., and it's going to give us some great things. And here's what I love about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was 17 when he was called to be a prophet. So that's pretty cool because we got the teenagers involved right there. Jeremiah was a single adult. So that's cool. We got a lot of singles involved. Jeremiah got to be an older person. That's great. We got the older crew involved. And we're going to get all of this right here in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Look at what it says. This is what the Lord says. Now, anytime a scripture starts out with that, you better pay attention, right? This is what the Lord says. Stand by the roadways. Some versions say it even better. It says crossroads. Stand by the crossroads and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which is the way to what is good? Then take it and find rest for yourselves. So here we have, he says, I want you to stand at the crossroads. I want you to stand at the roadways and I want you to pay attention. I want you to understand when you talk about where you are in life, what stage you're in life, you're standing at the crossroads. We have to pay attention at the crossroads. Well, as you as a student, pay attention where you are. As a single adult, as a married person, as a parent, as somebody in midlife, as a boomer and beyond, to be able to look and to say, here I am, I want to pay attention in the crossroads. The crossroads are where we are continually. And the first thing that we have to do when we're paying attention at the crossroads is to accept where we are. Have you accepted where you are in these stages of life? Here's what I found is that most of us want to hit a fast forward button or we want to hit a rewind button. We want to be older if we're young. I just can't wait till I get a car. Can't wait till I get out of the house. Can't wait till I finish school. Can't wait till I get married. Can't wait till I have kids. Can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. Then you get a little bit older and you're like, wait a minute. Let me go back. I kind of wish I could do this and I wish I could do that. And I wish I could make this mistake turn into this blessing. And we end up with this backwards and forwards type game. And what God's saying is when you're standing at the crossroads, realize where you are is where I've placed you. There's a reason for your season. when I did the message on midlife, and I said that midlife is defined by sociologists pretty much from like 35 at the youngest to 55 around there. I had a lot of folks over 55 say, could we stretch that a little bit further? Because nobody was really wanting to be in the ending group, okay? So they're saying maybe midlife is like 35 to 85, right? We say things like this, 60's the new 40, right? We move back and forth because we all want to go back or we want to go forward. And at the crossroads, pay attention, lots happening, but also accept this is where I am and God has me here for a reason and it's a blessing and it's a good thing and God wants me to step forward into that. See, the crossroads can either be a blessing of more direction or the crossroads can be a place of destruction. It can be a place of impact. In 1913, the Model T was just rolling off the assembly lines, just starting in 1913. But yet in America, we had 4,000 deaths through automobile accidents. So 4,000 people were killed in automobile accidents in 1913, just as they were starting to produce the Model T off the assembly line. So an engineer in Cleveland named James Hogue had a solution. And at an intersection in Cleveland, Ohio, he put together, he had stolen the idea, gotten the idea from the railroads using different lights, and he put a red light, green light, and yellow light up. And we had the first traffic light, and people didn't know what this thing was. But what did it do? It helped them in the crossroads. And so I want to give you in this moment, maybe you need a red light and you're going some past, you just need to stop. Maybe you need a yellow light and it's just caution, just be careful. Or maybe it's green light, let's go and take off and put the car in gear and quit moping and staying around in a position of paralyzed. Let's go for it and let's let God really do something for us. So pay attention at the crossroads. Now let me recap where we've been. I put it in your listening guide. I tried to put the main point and the main scripture together for you in all the different places. We talked about six groups. So let me hit six groups in about 5 minutes for us to just recap. First of all, we started with our students. We love our students. You do, I do, we all do. This Gen Z, this is the group of students that would be born from 1995 to 2010. They're called Generation Z. Now, here's the thing we've got to understand. By 2020, just a couple months away, in 2020, they predict that Gen Z will be 25% of the U.S. population. 25% of the U.S. population. So we can't act like, well, that's just all the kids. No, that's 25% of the population. And they are very impact-oriented. 60% of them want their jobs, their vocations, to have some type of impact and some type of life change in them to make a difference. That 4 out of 10 of them go to church, so that's a problem. But 78% of them say that they believe in God. So there's a real openness that's there as well. So our students, I've talked to you and told you this, for you to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Don't walk into a room and do what everybody else is doing. That's a thermometer. You're just measuring the temperature of the room. Instead of being a thermometer, you be a thermostat. What does a thermostat do? It changes the temperature of the room. So you be a difference maker. When you step in, things change. And here's the deal I want you to hear, students. If you can't change the room, change rooms. If you can't change the room, change rooms. We're not sending you in to just say, oh, well, I just, and you get taken away. Adults, the same thing for us. To be able to be a thermostat, though, to step in as a difference maker for Jesus Christ. That's a huge thing. Then we move to singles. Singles, do you know how important you are? Singles are never married, divorced, separated, or widowed. Do you know how important you are? In Houston, Texas, 58% of Houston, Texas is singles. 45% of the United States of America is singles. 30% of our church is singles. And singles, I try to encourage you to have devotion without distraction. You got a time right now that you could do all sorts of things. You could do all sorts of things you couldn't do in any other realm. I reminded you this, if you think it's bad being single, look how tired all your married friends are, okay? How tired all your parenting friends are. And to realize as a single adult, you can do all sorts of great things. Let your devotion be without distraction as you can do all sorts of things. Let God do his work in your life. It's never a table for one, singles. It's always a table for two. Jesus is always with you no matter where you are in a difficult time or in a great time. Let God do it and let your pain turn to freedom. Number three, we talked about married. And we had these phrases of love your wife, respect your husband, that wives need love, gentlemen. That's what we've got to be showing. And ladies, men need respect. And even if she doesn't show you respect, you continue to show her love. And even if he doesn't show you love, then you continue to show her, you get it. Show him respect. You got it? Wives do the right thing. Guys do the right thing. That's what I'm trying to say. But to be able to let that whole thing go around so that we can be able to meet each other's needs and care for one another and love and respect each other well, that's so important. In marriage, we talked about that. In parenting, we went on and we said as parents, aim for the heart, not just behavior, aim for the heart and let their hearts be what you're aiming for and what you're going for. And as we aim for the heart, we're going to build the home team. No other team should be bigger than the home team. No baseball team, no football team, no basketball team, no band team, no school team, no friend team. The home team is what it needs to be. And when those other teams, which we love being on, begin to take all the time and priority away from the home team, you got to think things through again. You got to process again, say, wait a minute, are we going off the rails here? Because we can all get a little bit crazy on different involvements. So let's build a team. I gave you an acronym of team. Time, love your kids with your calendar, experiences, have a lot of fun, have a great attitude that the best story is written at your home and your family. Mission, participate in a cross-cultural service type of way to show them that everybody doesn't have everything that they have, but to allow them to grow in that. We looked at Proverbs 3 with that. We had this phrase, it was kind of a great phrase for us, and this is what it is. I want us to say this together again. This is what we said all through our parenting time. On the count of three, let's say this together. One, two, three. I'm doing the best I can, but I need Jesus. It's a great parenting phrase. You ready? Here we go. I'm doing the best I can, but I need Jesus. See, if you feel like a bad parent, that's probably a sign that you're a good parent. Bad parents don't feel like bad parents. Bad parents are just bad parents. That's what makes them bad parents, because they don't realize they're bad parents, right? But good parents actually feel like bad parents at times, and that's what makes them good parents. And so if you feel like you're a bad parent at times, welcome to the Good Parenting Club. That's how it goes. We all need help. We're doing the best we can, but we need Jesus and letting God do something through us. Then we move to midlife. Midlife is, as Paul David Tripp says, we move from an astronaut to an archaeologist. Somehow as we're getting older, we're more cynical than we used to be, and we're a little bit disoriented, and we're discouraged, and we're discontent. But yet in this time, we used to be an astronaut. What's the latest and greatest? I want to do this, and I want to go there, and I want to make this happen. And we want to be an astronaut and discover new worlds. And then as we move into midlife, we begin to be an archaeologist, and we're trying to make sense out of these broken pieces of family and friends and relationship and these whole pieces of job. And how did I get here? And what do I do with this? And how does this fit with this, and where am I going? And all of a sudden now we're looking through things, and we're looking more back than we're looking forward. And even in that archaeology, we can become more understanding about where we are and where God has us. And just ponder a bit and say, okay, so what's next? Where do I go from here? Instead of just pondering where I am now. And there is new worlds to conquer. And there are new things to be able to think about. But if you found yourself, midlife's where I am, being in this archaeology stage where you're just kind of like, how did we all get so old? How did we end up in this spot? What's going on with this? How do we put these things together? But we give it to the Lord and we say, God, we want you to use it to let my frustration turn to my freedom in Christ. So now I'm free. So many things have been taken care of, but I'm free now to follow you even greater with what's happened. And then finally and lastly, boomers and beyond. Steve Stroop did a great job last week talking about that there's four different stages. There's a dream stage. Wow, there's a do stage. We're going to work. Then there's a drag stage. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And then you go from the drag stage into a dark stage where you got to get with God in the dark and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's the deal? And then to come out of the dark stage into the dream stage again and then begin the whole cycle. And it just continues over and over. Every other generation thinks the other generations are the ones that got it made, except the ones that we're in, because we're living a human experience. And here Jeremiah says to us, he says, stand at the crossroads. At all these crossroads. And we have a crossroads in our church, don't we? We have numerous generations. That's awesome. That's practice for worship in heaven when it's every tribe, nation, and tongue. Aren't you glad everybody's not just like you in our church? Isn't it awesome that there's people older than you that you can gain wisdom? Is it then awesome that there's people younger than you that you can gain some pep and some go? Isn't it awesome we can learn from each other? It's a great thing. How boring it would be if we were all exactly like each other. But instead, we come together, so we got to bend a little bit. We got to move a little bit. We got to change a little bit. Jeremiah 16:6, though, it says, stand at the crossroads. Be careful, but stand at the crossroads and pay attention. It says another thing in this verse of Scripture. It says, ask about the ancient paths, which is the way that is good, and then take it. Here's what it's telling us. Ask about the ancient paths. This is the way. Find the good way, and then take it. Here's the point. Eternal truth leads to eternal fruit. Eternal truth leads to eternal fruit. One of the things that's happened in our society and our world is we've taken eternal truths and we flipped them on their head and we shoved them into society and then tried to make sense out of society. So now we're in this place where what's real? What is it? What are these things that we're talking about? What's true? What's truth? What is marriage? What are relationships? What are friendships versus romance? What's all these things? We don't know. We flipped the whole thing over and shoved it in so that eternal truths, we don't know what those are. And he's saying, here, I want you to come back to the ancient path. Discover the ancient path. There's something so great about the ancient path. Now, let me say this. If you're a baby boomer, the ancient path is not 1960s, okay? That's not it. It's like, yeah, if we could just get back to the 50s and 60s, that's not the ancient path. If you're my age, it's like, let's get back to 1978 and the 80s, right? That's not the ancient path. He's talking about eternal truths. The scripture we're reading here, this is back in 600s BC, so like 2,600 years ago. Eternal truths lead to eternal fruits, and we love eternal truths, don't we? They warm our soul. They're the right thing for us. We go, yeah, that's right. You know how I can illustrate that to you? Let me illustrate to you. Two words. Hallmark movies, okay? Have you been watching those? We've been watching them like crazy at our house. We have totally forgotten there's Thanksgiving coming up. We have watched all sorts of Christmas things. We record them on the TV, the DVR thing. We get that whole thing going, and we just watch. And then finally, you know, I just got where it's like, I just can't take anymore. And so the girls, you know, they were watching. I was like, I just got to go on a walk. So I just went and walked around the neighborhood. I just couldn't take it. Because I walk in, and they don't like this. And I go, like, hey, can I tell you how this one ends? I bet it's this boy, and it's this girl, and it's this fight, and it's this misunderstanding, and then they get together, and then it's Christmas together, and then somewhere a parade got rescued, and somewhere a church got rebuilt, and somewhere there was a contest that turned out well, and somewhere there was snow falling, and all these beautiful people in beautiful houses have beautiful lives, and it's all great and wonderful at the end, and all turns out great. Ah. Why? Isn't that true? That's it. It's a perfect definition of quantity over quality, okay, is what it is. I mean, just how do they do this? It's like 50 of the same movies. But yet, we love them, right? I feel it. I know. I get it. I hear it. It goes back to those eternal truths. And what do we love? We love seeing these beautiful people in beautiful homes have everything turn out right. Why? Because we're just normal people in messy homes with a lot of problems. But it just goes back to those simple things of everybody getting together at Christmas, ancient paths. And our heart goes, wow, I want some of that. So here, Jeremiah, the Lord's saying, find the ancient path. What's really worked time over time over time of integrity, of generosity, of honesty, of truth, of walking with God, of honoring the Lord, of prayer, of family, of trusting Him in singlehood, all of these things. And go back to those and find what's good and then walk in it. And when you do that, your chapter of life, there'll be a reason for your season that you'll go, this is what I'm supposed to do, and this is what it means, and this is what I want to be a part of. And God, yes, it's great. And your life will never be a Hallmark movie, and neither will mine. But let it be something that we say, God, but you can take it and you can do whatever you want with it. We know the plot. The plot is small town person goes to big city person comes to small town. My wife the other day in one of the movies, she said, I was born in a small town, raised in a small town. It was a great small town, but it ain't all that. I can tell you that, what it's cracked up to be there. So instead of us always wanting something else, what if we just want Jesus where we are? And then God can do something great in the midst of it. Old paths can bring a new day. Old paths bring security. And today in our societies, we're tearing up the trail. and instead of walking down the trail, and I just want to encourage you, eternal fruit comes from eternal truth. And that eternal truth will yield in your life. But here's the deal. Ready? Here's the big deal. You got to stay faithful. You got to stay faithful. So in your singlehood, stay faithful. In your marriage, stay faithful. As a student, stay faithful. As a boomer and beyond, stay faithful. Obedience is a long walk in the same direction. We're talking about a cumulative effect of our life. We're talking about decades upon decades of walking with God, not just now in this very moment. So stay faithful. You never know what fruit is coming. Stay faithful in the chapter that you're in. Sure, you want to be in a different one. You're in this one. Stay faithful. We had a great illustration of faithfulness in our home. We have in our staff, we have prayer intercessors, and that's lay people that have partnered together with staff people. And so we try to have prayer intercessors for our staff, and they pray for folks and pray for the staff and one person in particular. So my wife has had the same prayer intercessor for about 15 years. Some of you may know her. She's gone on to heaven now just recently this year. Her name is Sandy Bell, saint, amazing lady within our church, great godly woman. And so she was my wife's prayer partner. The 4.5 years they were looking for the pastor and pastor's wife as well, she was praying for that lady. Then we got here, and so for 15 years, she prayed for Kelly, would pray they would get together and pray together, different things. So Sandy gave us a lemon tree one day as a gift. And so we got this lemon tree, and one of the scariest things you can give Team Mott is a living plant, okay? That's one of the scariest things we can get, especially when it comes from like your prayer partner, you know? So you're like, this is like of the Lord, living plant. So we took it and we had it planted, and notice I said had it planted, not planted, had it planted in the backyard. I believe in supporting the local economy, so I believe in yard service businesses, and haven't owned a mower in decades and never intend to, okay? And so we've got this lemon tree gets planted in the backyard so that Kelly can see it out the window, and that was about 5 to 7 years ago. And I mean, if we can kill a plant, if anybody kill a plant, we can kill a plant. So Sandy, she'd call wanting to pray. We'd say, no, Sandy, we'll meet you at your house. We'll come over to where you are type of thing. We don't want you to see this lemon tree that's going on. But we kept it there, and it took off well enough. And so we never have had any fruit on it until this year. This year. It's about 5 to 7 years of this tree in our backyard. No fruit. We just kind of, if you will, going with the illustration, we stayed faithful. Let me show you the fruit from this year. This is just this year from this lemon tree. That's from our backyard. Isn't that awesome? This fruit here, after 5 to 7 years, and we've given away some lemons. I finally told Kelly, quit giving them away. I need it as an illustration, okay? This fruit, lemon after lemon, it's so fun. And here's what we've done as a family, and I want you to steal this in your family and your life. Here's what we've done as a family. Kelly and I'll just look at each other sometimes and just go, lemon tree. We'll just see fruit blossoming in an area of our life that has been dormant for years, possibly months. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. And we just say, lemon tree, look what God can do. And I just want you to see these beautiful yellow lemons to be able to see eternal truth leads to eternal fruit. Stay faithful. Find the ancient way and walk in it in your parenting, in your marriage, in your singlehood, in your midlife, in your boomer and beyond. And let God do something to blossom this. So now Sandy's in heaven, and her life's blossomed in a whole different way, isn't it? And here we are with a remembrance and symbolic of this blossoming in our very own backyard. What's God got for you? Stay faithful. Don't give up. You're at a crossroads. Keep walking. Find the ancient path and do what's right and keep walking it out. And when that happens, beautiful fruit will come from your life. But let me tell you, there's something that happens as we get a bit older. The fruit from our life, you know, these lemons are gorgeous, but you know what? These lemons can also be sour. So as we age, as we get older, are we going to be sour? Or are we going to be beautiful? Is it going to be a little bit too much of us or just the right amount of us? Allow God to blossom in your life fruit. He's got the timing for you. Stay faithful. Let me show you a verse of scripture talking about kind of ages and stages and different things. It's in Ecclesiastes 3. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it off the screen to you. Verse 1 through 8. And listen to this of timing. We're talking about timing. There's an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. A time to search and a time to count as loss. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to speak and a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Everything in God's timing, we just trust that the Lord can do what he wants to do. And as he does what he wants to do, we say, God, I trust you in the age and the stage that I'm in. I have a reason for the season that I'm in this moment. I'm at a crossroads, but I'm going to walk with you. Now watch what happens in the next part of this verse. If you'll just look down, it says, find the way, which is good, then take it. And then it gives us a promise, something, a result. It says, and find rest for yourselves. Rest in the stage, there's a reason for your season. Rest in the stage, there's a reason for your season. In Matthew chapter 11, it says something similar to this. You'll find rest is what it says here. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and find rest for your souls, for my load is easy and my burden is light. And so we come to Christ and we rest in our stage. We achieve, we dream, and we rest. And in our society, we don't have a Sabbath anymore, do we? We don't rest anymore. Do you know that this is the Lord's day? It's not just a weekend day. It's the Lord's day for us to be refreshed and to rest, not to just get errands done. And to be able to say, God, I want to rest in you and trust in you. And you know what? That's what it really comes down to, resting in God. Resting in God in salvation. Have you rested in Jesus Christ for salvation? That Christ died on the cross. What a deal. Amazing. Check this out. God sent his son to die on a cross for you so you could receive him as Savior. Trust in his grace through faith and walk with him in forgiveness and allow him to wash you clean. And you've got to rest in the cross and rest in the tomb for that to happen in your life. What a great deal. If Jesus is your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and he directs you at the crossroads of where to go and what's the right way and where to walk in it. He lives inside of you. He's a comforter and a counselor. What a great deal. Rest in it. If you're young, you've got your whole life ahead of you. Amazing pitfalls will come. Amazing pain will happen. But some great things will happen from the decisions you're making right now. What a great deal. You're older. Look back and see all the great things God's given you. He's blessed you so much. What a great deal. How would you respond to such a great deal from God? What's our response? I want you to look at Jeremiah, the last thing I'm going to show you. Jeremiah 6, 16, same verse we've been talking about. Look how they respond to this great deal. Ancient paths, good ways. I want you to be paying attention at the crossroads. I'm going to give you rest. How do they respond? Here's how they respond. But they protested, we won't. The Lord says, I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen for the sound of the ram's horn. But they protested, we won't. Listen, does that blow you away? How in the world could they have this offer from God, this extension from God? The Lord says to walk at the crossroads and to find your way through the ancient paths and to walk in it and you'll find rest. And they say, we won't. We're not going to. Look at your Bible if you got it open. From my Bible and many Bibles that I've looked in, the heading of this, the little topical heading, before this verse 16, it says, disaster because of disobedience. And we see that all throughout the Old Testament. How in the world did they say no to this offer of God? And the rest that you read chapter after chapter is the disaster that comes from disobedience. Here's the question, though. What will you say to God? What will you say to God? Because don't we all, at some point in times, don't we all have an amazing offer of the Lord on the table and we go, not right now? and we just protest and say, we won't. And here's what I'm asking you today. Here's what I'm asking you today. Is your answer, we won't, or is your answer, yes, I will? Joshua puts it like this, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And let me tell you what I want in my life, what I want in my heart, and I hope you'll come along with me, and I hope you'll just let me lead you towards it. Here's what I want in my life. I want to encounter whatever stage I'm in, whatever age I'm in, whatever trial, whatever blessings, whether it's a lemon tree that's barren or it's a lemon tree filled with fruit, whether it's my dying day before I go to see Jesus or the most celebratory day of a young life, I want to say, I will follow you. I want to walk with you because you have my good in mind and in heart. I don't want to be like this and say in protest, no, I won't. So I leave it before you. Jesus wants to be your Savior. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? I hope that you'll respond to His death on the cross and resurrection by saying, yes, I will trust Him as my Savior. And you would pray and receive Christ even in this very moment and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins and I want you to live inside of me. I want you to be my Savior. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, that you'd say, yes, I will walk with you, not no, I won't. And I'm just going to be faithful in this age and stage that I'm in right now. Your life will never be a Hallmark movie, but it can be an epic story of the grace of God and what He can do. Father, we come in Jesus' name with yes, I will on our hearts to just say to you, Lord, we love you. We want rest, Lord. We need rest in our soul. Father, for those who feel like their tree is barren right now, Lord, I pray that you bring fruit. They just would stay faithful in trusting you. Thank you, Father, for senior adult prayer warriors that are now in heaven. And their legacy still lives. Would you take a moment, just even in this prayer, and particularly as we sing in just a moment, and would you just say to Christ, when the question is asked, what will you do with what God has said? Would you just say, yes, I will. I will follow you. I will love you. I will trust you. I will honor you. I will give my life to you. Would you just say, yes, I will, instead of no, I won't? Just make this the time and the place for you to declare that. We love you, Lord. Maybe in salvation. Yes, I will trust you. Thank you, God. Thank you for lemon trees. Thank you for ancient paths. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.